All right, welcome to the Toddcast. I am John, and I am actually joined by one of the newest NDC team members, Tim Cope.
Hello.
Or, as I like to call him, Coop, so that I can make coffee and pie jokes all day long.
The Coop.
I need you to recoup, Coop. You're sick today. I need you to recoup. See? See, it works all the time.
It's a hit with the ladies.
We have some cool events coming up this week. Actually, we have a vintage sale coming up in Elwood. Todd apparently was hoarding some ridiculous amount of awesome books, or he just didn't have time to do anything because it was like leading up to Christmas and he was really busy. But he has priced a ton of books, and they are going on sale on Friday in Elwood. Lots of cool stuff. I saw like a Spider-Man 300, an X-Men 101, some like early ASMs, just some Neil Adams Batman, like just really, really, really great stuff. So go check it out. You can actually look at the samples of it on, Elwood's Facebook page, in the events. Then if you miss that and you like dollar books, we have our legendary basement sale coming up on the last Saturday of this month, the 27th, I believe. We're opening at 8 a.m. and it goes till 7 p.m. Have you ever been up for the basement sale at all?
I haven't.
Oh, my God.
But I'm into basements, so.
Right. Well, we don't sell basements, but we sell a lot of books. Over 500,000 sorted comics, by the way.
Nice.
It is stupid fun. Cool. There is free parking at the VFW, or you can park. Actually, I think it's free parking anyway because it's on the weekend in front of the store. But we are opening early. We're opening at 8 a.m. and we're opening closing at 7. So you have 11 hours to come out, dig, check out some awesome like mom and pop lunch places to have. There's a really killer pizza place across the street. There's an awesome breakfast place if you want to come early and have breakfast. Just two or three stores down. Really good times. Fun times in Elwood.
You had me a pizza.
Oh, it's really good, too. It's like a dude that like moved here from New York, and he's like a Sicilian, and he just like makes like this killer pizza. I'll take you to Elwood sometime. Awesome. It'll be fun. Cool. I'll make you pick C3's back issues out or something.
Okay.
Also, this weekend is the Magic the Gathering Rivals of Ixalan pre-release, so if you're into Magic, come on out for that. All the stores are having their awesome events. It's like $30 to play in the events. Some stores have two events, some stores have three. Check your local New Dimension Comics for times and, yeah, I think that's it, just times for the most part. Because everybody, the prize pool is very similar everywhere.
Yeah.
But go check it out. It's a lot of fun. I love it. I'll be playing out at the Mills all weekend, mostly because I need to go out there for a couple other things, so it kind of kills two birds with one stone. and they asked me. So they asked me to run it, so I'll be judging it. So come on out and hang out. And then if you are interested in our Three Rivers Comic Con, Dan Greenwald and I just did another awesome live announcement. We announced that Dynamite Entertainment will be there, who do put out books like Red Sonja.
Nice.
Bob's Burgers, like a bunch of other stuff, like John Carter of Mars, they did that one.
That's awesome.
They do a lot of really cool, like they do a lot of like property, like licensed stuff.
Yeah.
That's been really killer for them. And I really enjoy a lot of the books they put out. But they're coming and they're bringing Amy Chu with them.
Oh, awesome.
So she's currently writing the new Red Sonja that starts today, which we'll probably talk about next time. and she did like the Kiss book, and I think she did the other book. She did another book. I keep forgetting. I couldn't remember when I did the other thing either. And I was like,
I wish the Bob's Burgers book had like, you know, the Hallmark cards, you open them up and they sing like songs to you.
Yeah.
I wish the Bob's Burgers had those, cause Tina is probably the best character and she always moans like,
Yeah. Oh, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
That'd be real funny. Like, or like you get to the middle page and it did that.
Yeah.
I'll like talk to him about it. I'll see what happens.
Tina groaning.
Is that like the text when your wife texts you?
Yeah.
It just goes,
Yeah.
I might do that for my wife now. She'll get real pissed. It'll be awesome.
Now that it's on record.
It's all right. I think right now, like, if she calls me, it plays Fancy.
By so, Reba?
No. By what's her name? It was like Charlie XO and what's her name, and she did that. Okay. And it was oh man, I can't. Well, she even spells her name in the song.
That's
better
than the Reba version, because the Reba McEntire version, and I'm not going to get into.
Oh, Iggy Azalea. That's it.
Is yeah. About a mother who gave up her daughter, forced her daughter into a life of prostitution.
Yeah,
so
no.
It's probably good that's not that version.
So. Yeah. So, it's really funny. Like, I'll be, like, out with my buddies, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm so fancy. Okay. And I'm like, oh, my bad.
That's a little better.
Right. One last thing before we start into comics is, so we do some awesome pairing up with things at the Hard Rock Cafe in Pittsburgh. Those guys are awesomely great. Jeremiah and Roy are really killer dudes to work with. And so we did this great Star Wars night last night. It was like Star Wars original trilogy, like just like trivia night. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was following the live stream.
Yeah. Yeah, we live streamed all like the weird mini games in between.
Yeah.
Like the Chewie off was like my favorite one. Like they had to do like different Chewbacca noises.
Yeah.
So we're doing another Bob's Burgers event with them, another Bob's Burgers we're doing another Rick and Morty trivia night with them.
Ooh.
I think it's at the end of the month. I think it's the 30th of this month. And then in middle of February, we are doing cosplay karaoke with them. So how this works is you sign up on the Three Rivers Comic Con website. You give us your top three cosplay characters that you're going to do. And then we're going to pick three songs based on that character that you may sing, that you're going to sing that night. You don't know which one of the three you're going to sing. We're going to draw it out of the hat that night, like in front of you.
Nice.
So you know which one you're going to do. So some people had some questions about how this works. First, yes, you can do other cosplay besides comic book guys. Like you can do movie guys, TV guys. As long as it's nerd, we don't really care.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if it's going to be like...
Like, don't show up as, like, Mama from Mama's Family.
Yeah, that would be weird.
You're
like,
out.
Yeah, because, like, we're going to be like, I don't know how that works. So don't do that. Yes, you can do sign up as groups. So if everyone signs up as a Fantastic Four, I will totally find some awesome songs, probably by NSYNC.
That's awesome.
To make you do. But there's some really cool things, like, somebody signed up as Negan, and we were kicking around songs for him today, and it was, like, Center Field, Beat on the Brat, like Swing 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 came out, like was like one that was kicked around.
Or Sorry About Your Head, Glenn. That's a song, right?
No.
No, I thought it was.
No. Okay. Dan was like, hit me with your best shot. I was like, no, that's if somebody came as Glenn. Like then it would be the best shot. But we actually we are really putting some thought into this. Like someone signed up to be Carmen Sandiego, and we were like, all right, so we're like Lady in Red.
Yeah.
Was it like Born to Run?
You could do like Born in the USA.
Oh, I never thought about that. World. Yeah.
Back in the USSR.
No, like
anything world related, you could probably.
Yeah. Like I was like Money Talks by AC/DC.
The Carmen Sandiego theme
the
song.
The actual theme song by Rockapella.
Yeah.
I thought about that too, and I was like, no, that's too easy.
And if you could do like each individual voice.
Oh, yeah, that'd group. Be even better. Yeah. Like if you have that kind of a range.
Yeah.
But especially for a lady to be singing that like that, that'd be killer because like they get some really bassy stuff in there. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. There will be a cosplay judge, a musicianship judge, and a overall performance judge. And then we're also going to do a prize for, like crowd favorite. So there's going to be four prizes. All first place of those are going to get a ticket to the show, to the Three Rivers Comic Con, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
So bring your friends to cheer you on for the best of show. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be really nuts. I may or may not take place or take like kick it off and do some cosplay and sing something stupid myself.
Yeah.
Currently, the only cosplay I actually have is Pam from Archer, which I wore last year for Halloween Comics Fest. And I totally was like, well, if I did that, I could sing cocaine. And everybody that's watched the show has told me, please do this. And I was like, you know, because I even have like the HR Dolphin,
yeah,
like the hand puppet. So it's like I could sing the song with the puppet and be like, if you want to get down, down on the ground, cocaine. Or maybe he just goes cocaine, you know.
He's using his hand as if it's a puppet.
I know. It's really it's pretty awkward because you can't see that at all.
Yeah.
So, but you get it.
I get it.
That's going to be funny.
Does that mean props are encouraged?
Props are encouraged, but no live weapons.
Or flame.
Like, you can't, yeah, don't bring something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, just come and hang out, have a fun time.
Like, if you have a lightsaber.
Even if you're not performing, like come in costume. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, just don't, you can't maim anybody or kill anybody or hurt anybody. Like, you're going to be, like, we really don't want to have the cops there, you know? But it'll be fun. Just come and fun, like, have fun and hang out. Somebody had, like, a signed up to be Deathstroke and like only the good die young, like stuff like that. Like, you know, like I said, like it's funny. Like, we're trying to find songs that are like ironic for people to sing.
Yeah, for whatever their character
yeah.
is. Yeah.
The Deadpool one's been pretty like up in the air. We have some stuff. We haven't quite kicked out anything specific yet.
Well, it could be so. Wham.
Oh, that's yeah, Careless big, Whisper. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually on the list of potentials. But so Dan and I meet like once a week. So like, we're trying to like give it a week's worth of thought of yeah. here's the ones that we thought were really good. We're going to give it a week. And then we're actually going to send you the people who sign up. We're actually going to send you a link so you can practice all three songs.
Wham.
Right. I have Bodies by Drowning Pool. That would be so much funnier, I think.
That's how they earn their exclamation point.
But, it's going to be fun. There's 15 slots available, and then we're going to have some standby slots. So, like, if somebody doesn't show up, you'll be able to sing. So we're going to take probably 5 or 10 extra slots just in case.
Yeah.
And if this works out well, we'll probably do it again at the actual Three Rivers Comic Con. But we just want to have a lot of fun to do.
Signing up as an extra, it'll probably be like waiting for the teacher to like ask you a question in school, slouching down in your chair. Like, you want to answer it. I want to sing this song, but I'm kind of hoping the person that signed up
right
it's called on.
Well, the other thing is, like, we didn't want repeats of A, songs, and B,
yeah,
costumes. Because somebody was like, why do you have to sign up for this? Why can't we just show up? I was like, because no one wants to watch 15 Harley Quinns all sing Love Stinks,
yeah,
you know, in a row. That would just be a really terrible night for everyone. Yeah. And most people agree with me. But anyway, come out and hang out. We have some anime guys they're gonna dress up. We have some comic book guys, there's some TV guys. It's gonna be hilarious. Please just come and have a good time and support the Hard Rock and support Three Rivers Comic Con. You can actually, we're actually going to try to work it out so you can actually buy your Three Rivers Comic Con tickets there if you want.
Oh, awesome.
Which is also cool. And we'll be able to issue the winners their tickets that night, which is awesome as well.
If you come as an anime character and you pronounce Naruto, Naruto, or anything else but Naruto, we'll have to turn you away.
Yeah, your nerd card may be revoked. So, all right, we're going to talk about some comics. It has been a couple weeks since we've done one of these because the last one we did was the Last Jedi special, and I'm really sorry that ran like 2 hours. It was nuts. But it was a really good time, and I think we covered a lot of stuff. So now we're going to talk about a lot of comics because comics are a thing. So my first book is Batman the Signal by Scott Snyder and Tony Patrick. Is the other writer, and then Cully Hamner is the artist. So this book focuses on Duke, who's kind of not a Robin, but not a Batman. And this book's weird. Like, it's just, like, these random, like, dudes who we think might be from the other, like the metal verse, the metal multiverse, the dark verse, dark multiverse, whatever it's called. And, like, I don't know, like Duke ends up fighting with this dude and he's like, you have no idea who you are. And then, Duke ends up like they end up making physical contact and like, they just like kind of like repel each other with like craziness.
Duke's a weird character. I haven't got into him yet.
Yeah, it's really weird because I feel like they tried to basically make a Miles Morales, and I don't really think they've hit him quite right. The coolest part of this book is when Batman gives him his own little bat cave called the Hatch. That was pretty cool. Except if you notice, like real tiny computer, and then it's basically just a room with a little elevator that it's almost like an elevated one of those things you put in your yard. Kind of like a treehouse.
It looks like a treehouse, and he has a Samsung or gazebo Galaxy, pad. That
it's like a gazebo that they elevated, you know? And it's like, oh, you can park your bike there, and then you can weightlift underneath, and then I'm going to store your costume in a glass case up top so people can see it from all sides when they come in. But that's pretty much the only thing I'm giving you, and this real big TV. I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, so you couldn't have just been like, here's a room in the Batcave?
Yeah.
It's like, mini cave right here. And Lucius Fox apparently is going to, like Fox is going to fund it. So, like, it kind of goes on, and, like, he's investigating more into the guys they were fighting, and he eventually figures out that he's going to call himself the Signal. He's not the Signal. The team that he's going to eventually go against is called... Or no, he is called the Signal, right? It was kind of confusing. I think he is the Signal. He is going to be called the Signal, and that's why he's got the shiny bat symbol on his chest that lights up. I will tell you the cooler part of this, in my opinion, this book, because I didn't really like it, was the sideways preview in the back by Kenneth Rockford, Justin Jordan, and Dan DiDio. Totally liked this. This looks awesome. But everything, like, I really was kind of bored with the Duke thing. I was not super happy. But the sideways thing was cool, except because he basically is like, hey, I can, like, walk through portals and show up all these other places. My one complaint, and maybe if Justin's listening to this, he can explain it to me. If Sideways is on a cell phone... And he's live streaming in Utah. And he walks through the thing, and he ends up in New York. How does the signal on the phone not get screwed up? Or does it, like, start picking up signal from the portal while he's going through it so that he never loses signal to broadcast live? That's my only question about Sideways. Other than that, this was, like, my least favorite book that I read in a while. Yeah. Like, I did not think it was that good. It is probably the first thing of the metal tie-ins that I was like, meh.
Yeah, because all the individual ones have been awesome.
Right. I mean, I also think, like I said, I'm just not a big fan of Duke. Like, he's just, like, okay, but nothing.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like a Duke book.
Yeah, and it's
at
like...
At least that issue.
Yeah, and I'm like, why do we keep sprinkling Duke everywhere? No one cares. You know, he was the worst Robin. Anyway, what book are you want to talk about, Tim?
So we'll go a couple weeks back. Mine's Spider-Man 2, number 5. It's the conclusion by Bendis, one of his final works, Pacelli, and... A little guest appearance by Mark Bagley.
Ooh!
So
I do like Mark Bagley.
So, but this is hasn't been as good as Spider-Man 1, the crossover between Peter Parker and Miles Morales.
Right. When Peter goes to find Miles in the Ultimate Universe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's all about an alternate Miles Morales who lost the love of his life. He has a scar on his face, and he lives in the 616 universe, and he's trying to put together a dimensional rift to get to another universe to see if the woman he lost in 616 is alive in a different universe. So, you know, it starts out, Taskmaster's been in this book. He's kind of like a paid distraction, so the evil Miles can go ahead and do his thing. So there's a little bit of fight. The cool thing about this is Peter's kind of like very bossy to Miles, almost as if he doesn't respect him. But what it comes off is Peter's just kind of trying to mentor him and show him the things that he's done and where he's made mistakes.
Right.
And it comes out that, you know, he tells him how much he really respects him and thinks that he's probably the best Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
And that he really respects him as Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
If Peter wasn't around, he doesn't think there's anybody better to do the job. So emotionally, there's some cool things that go back and forth between those two characters. But the story kind of falls flat with this evil Miles trying to open up this dimension and go to the other side.
Right.
Where the story pays off is... evil Miles makes it through, and he finds the love of his life, and it turns out in the Mark Bagley drawn parts is that there he made it to the Ultimate Universe.
That apparently has not been dead.
That it's apparently alive.
Wow.
And Peter Parker's alive, and they're fighting... Norman Osborn, the monster Green Goblin, and
nice.
There's a splash page with the Ultimates, which is awesome, and it's got the clone Spider-Woman.
I love that Spider-Woman, actually.
The ultimate Thor, who I thought died at some point a while back, but I could be wrong.
He did, because that's like his Mjolnir, too.
Yeah, so. And Riri Williams is the Iron Man, so is this Riri Williams the Ultimate version, or is this like... where she came from, but either way, it's exciting to know that the Ultimate Universe.
I love the gray Ultimate Hulk there.
Yeah, the Ultimate Hulk, and then you got the big Ultimates version of Giant Man with the weird, like kind of lab suit on and the goggles.
Right.
But that was probably the best thing about this whole series is finding out at the end that the Ultimate Universe is still there. It still exists, which is kind of weird because everybody that was involved with Miles, his parents, Gangi, the people he went to school with,
right,
they're all in the 616. So why are they here and not in the Ultimate Universe? That's kind of the question. But that's kind of Bendis also. He always seems to have some inconsistencies.
I'm curious
there.
If like we're gonna find out that like it wasn't that the Ultimate Universe got destroyed. It's just we swapped some people.
Yeah.
And then we swapped people, and then it just kind of shut, like that doorway shut off.
Yeah.
Somehow. But
so, that was pretty exciting part. But otherwise, the Spider-Man 2, I wanted to get that one out of the way because it was a couple weeks old.
Right.
And it wasn't as exciting.
As some of your other books that happen to have X
that might have in X's in them.
Awesome. All right, my next book is Quantum and Woody 1 by Dan Kibblesmith and Cato. So I haven't read a Quantum and Woody book in a long time, but this book is hilarious.
Yeah.
If you miss Matt Fraction Hawkeye, this is the book for you. If you miss Daniel Wade Deadpool, this is the book for you.
It's high praise.
Like, oh my God, this is such a good book. The art in it is fantastic. And it even has that like Hawkeye kind of vibe to it. Even in the art. Like it has that like Dave Asia or Aha, I don't know how you say it. Like that kind of style art.
It is nice art. It pops off the page really
nice. Yeah, and colors. The dialogue is great. Like, even this is very reminiscent of that style. Like, it feels like they went, you know what, we need to write a book, and we're just going to use the style of Hawkeye, that Hawkeye book. And they did, and it's just awesome. like Quantum and Woody have a like they say like they do a mission. Quantum gets picked up by like an agency to work for them. Woody ends up not being picked up by it. So he basically goes and like drinks himself into a stupor every night, and then when he shows up in the morning he just does the clang with Quantum so they don't turn into dust. And even the goat is still there. And like at one point they're talking about like the goat having a baby, which was hilarious. Like it's great, like the way they do it. But then there's a cool twist because they grew up as stepbrothers, and there's a cool twist about one of their dads in it.
Which one's Woody?
That one's Woody. The blonde guy's Woody. The non dressed up superhero guy's Woody.
Okay.
And he's kind of like a cocky a-hole, like a stumbly, like a totally not as awesome Tony Stark. Like
he kind of looks like he just reminds me for some reason of like Booster Gold in a suit.
Yeah, kind of. Like he's kind of got that attitude too, where he's kind of like not like if he was written by like when Keith Giffen wrote him, where it was like a little more slapsticky.
Yeah.
Like kind of where he was not like a moron, but he wasn't the smartest dude ever.
Yeah.
Because like at one point he's like they're doing this adventure and he's like taking selfies and doing selfie videos and like doing these dumb hashtags and stuff. And Quantum's just like, really, come on, man. And it's really funny because there's at one point he gets pulled out of this club by another character, and her sidekick is a hedgeman because he's a giant hedge. And he's like, she's like, did you say hedgeman or henchman?
Like, picture the Thing if he was made of hedges.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's just a giant bush. But it was really good. Like, and then there's like a small little Exo Manowar thing in the back too, which has been pretty solid anyway.
That's the first I've seen that book, and that kind of makes me want to pick it up just looking through.
Oh, dude, it's real fun too. Really, like, I had a blast reading it. It was fun. Mine is like a stupid foil that there was like reused foil from the 90s.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
Yeah, so there's a couple of those floating around still if you can find them. But definitely checking out Quantum and Woody from Valiant. Good times.
So my next book is Phoenix Resurrection number 2. And if you read the first one, which was kind of a little bit strange, maybe you were coming
this
in.
One's still a little strange.
It's still a little strange, but...
Well, it's starting to come around.
It's starting to piece together. And from what... Just spoiler alert. From what I flipped through in the third one, it looks like it's finally coming together in
the
third
one. Okay, cool.
But that was just from putting out books last night. But it starts out, it's, you know, you have the first one was Jean, and she's working in a cafe, Banshee's back.
Yeah, Banshee was awesome, like sitting there getting coffee. I was like,
yeah, so hopefully that's still going to be a thing.
Right.
She's in bed and she's sleeping and she's having a nightmare, starts to lift stuff off the desk. It starts out very boring for me because it's just her doing like her daily routine as a waitress. Kitty Pryde's trying to get all the X-Men to go look for.
Whoa! You totally missed something awesome.
What?
So like when she's late for work, she's talking to the dude mowing the lawn,
yeah.
And it's totally a Jamie Madrox dupe.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
His name's Jamie, and she's like,
sorry,
she's like, how do you get all these lawns done so quickly? And he's like, man.
That's a good point.
And I'm like, yes, multiple Vans back, too. Like, every single issue these books have brought somebody back that I'm like, fudge, yeah.
So,
I really want
to see. Maybe it's not just, like, Phoenix that's going to be back.
Yeah, I think this is a way to bring back a bunch of dudes who
have been gone.
Yeah.
The stuff with the actual X-Men, nothing's changed from this first one to the second one. It's Shadowcat is leading the X-Men. Now they have 5 signatures that they're trying to go out and pinpoint this energy. So she sends off 5 different teams. Where it gets interesting is when Jean's at the at the cafe, coffee shop cafe.
Rust Diner, whatever.
Magneto is there.
Right. I love that he like totally messes with the spoon.
Yeah, he's ordering coffee and she's not really paying attention and he's starting to bend a spoon. And then she turns around and he's gone and the spoon's all mangled up. In between that, you have Cable is using Cerebro to try and pinpoint the Phoenix energy.
Because all the other dudes are, like, missing. All the other psychics are missing.
Yeah, all the psychics are missing right now, which if you want to know more about that, go pick up the Jean Grey series. I think it was around issue 10 or 11, started a whole, the psych wars or something. Yeah. But
Astonishing X-Men, too, because that's where, like, Psylocke and Professor X slash Phantom X are.
Yeah.
So, the man called X.
But, really, anything with the X-Men, nothing's really changed. They're just running around trying to find this signature. Where it gets interesting is, when they start fighting Magneto, and then in the middle of the fight, he just disappears, and then he shows back up, and he's back in the cafe again.
Right. I love when he's, like, fighting X-23, and, like, he doesn't know her.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you talking about?
Like, yeah, and then he goes back to the cafe,
right.
And he's like, oh, I was, he's like, sorry, I was thinking about the war, and she's right. Like, oh, you were in the war, and he's like, oh, I was the war. So there's definitely some weird stuff going on with maybe like a different dimension or reality, or it could be all in Jean Grey's head.
Right.
So who knows?
I mean, to be fair, the Phoenix is one of the reasons why a lot of this stuff cataclysmically started happening when the Phoenix Five happened.
Yeah.
So, because that brought about the Age of the Atom, it brought about, Children of the Atom, Age of the Atom, what was it? Battle of the Atom?
I think it was Battle.
Battle of the Atom, yeah. Like the one that Frank Cho did the art for.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then it led into, like, all the other stuff. So, like, it killed Xavier, it did all this other stuff. And to me, like, I didn't really think about it till now, but when you see Magneto and Magneto gear in this book, it's all, like, 90s Magneto gear.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the black outfit or the white outfit that he's been rolling in lately. Like, I really thought that was kind of, like, there's a lot of symbolism in this book that I don't know, like you, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's going to be, we're going to bring it back to this starting point, or if it's going to go further back and kind of bring even more stuff back. But I'm pretty excited to see how this, I think this is going to be the book that kind of sets the next chapter of Marvel off. I think it's going to be the one that goes, oh, hey, like between this and that Spider-Man book, to kind of go, we're like, things are not what they seem, and like reality will start to shift back. I think they're going to do another like Infinity Gauntlet style book that's not Infinity by Hickman, because then it'll take like another three or four years to do. But they need to do like a quick one that's just boom, everything gets reset.
Yep.
Fantastic Four back, boom, da da da.
Yeah, and it's taken the X-Men back to, it feels like it's starting to take them back to their former glory, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, yeah.
If they can do that and pull that off, I'll be really happy, because those were some of my favorite books in the 90s was the X-Men stuff. So
I can't wait for the Phoenix to show up and just like blink all of the teenage X-Men back into their own time.
Well, we'll talk about that with my next book after your
your book. Oh, okay. But. Well, then. All right. My next book is Backways by Justin Jordan and then Longoria Carlini. So it's no surprise that I really like Justin Jordan's writing. So this book is kind of interesting because it's like, it's got a little bit of like witchcraft. It's got a little bit of magic. It's got a little bit of like Buffy kind of vibe. It's got phenomenally cool art. It's very manga, inspired style art. But it's got like everything you want, like interdimensional stuff, like missing people, detective-y noir style vibe. It's a lot of things mixed together that work well. like this guy who can control people's flesh, and he makes her smile when she goes into the back ways, and then she finds out what the back ways actually are. Like, it's just super good. Like, I can't really explain it much more, except that you really should read it if you like Buffy, if you like Wayward, if you like the new Witchblade. Check it out. It's definitely kind of got, like, it's even got like a little bit of a Hellboy feel. I really enjoy this book. So, short, sweet, go check it out.
Cool.
It's out on Aftershock. A lot of the stores only have like one or two copies left, so you better hurry up and go get it. Go get it now. Get it. Get
Let's
it.
Do it.
Do it. Done.
So my last book is X-Men Blue, Crosstime Capers.
You my boy, X-Men Blue.
My boy, Blue. It's been a really great story, but it also feels like I haven't been very happy with this team of X-Men that have come from the past.
Right.
I don't know what it is about it that I just don't like them.
Well, I don't like Cyclops, so there's my answer for that. I've never been a Cyclops guy.
It just doesn't feel right. But the weird thing is, even though it doesn't feel right, this whole Crosstime Capers story has felt like an X-Men story. They're traveling back in time or forward in time. Last issue, they ended up in 2099.
That's awesome.
Facing off against the X-Men from 2099, which was awesome.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It makes me wish they would bring back X-Men 2099.
Please don't say that ever.
I liked X-Men 2099.
I did, too. It was not. I actually have a graded number one. It's like a 9.5.
Yeah. That and the Spider-Man 2099 were the only 2099.
Spider-Man
titles.
2099 was amazing.
Yeah.
Hulk 2099 and Doom 2099 were pretty good too. Doom 2099 was freaking awesome because that was like Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, so good. And it was still the same Doom. That was the best part. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Did you want
to? But so last week was 2099. They find out that there's these Sentinels. And that the X-Men had taken over Alchemex. It's Alchemex with an X at the end now. And they find out that they're kind of the villains of the story. These young X-Men from the past, as they grow up, become the villains in 2099. They make their jump to their next time because the whole purpose of the story is to try and get back to the past where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And they end up facing off against Generation X.
What? No.
Yeah.
Cinch. Oh, my God.
Everybody that you remember.
Is that Ruby?
No, so that's Husk.
Is it Husk? Because it looks like Ruby.
Yeah,
like
it's Husk, and she's in a Ruby Quartz skin.
No way.
Because she's fighting Cyclops, but she kind of looks like the gummy Venus de Milo from the Simpsons episode.
She looks like Ruby, who's Cyclops and Emma Frost's daughter from 2099. Yeah. Like that. That's why I was like, is that Ruby? And I was like, wait.
But yeah, this is Penance and Husk and Mondo.
God, so good.
Skin. It's all the Generation X characters you love, but it's not in that timeline. It's like a futuristic timeline where, again, these young X-Men, when they grew up, became the villains. And this is a resistance team put together by Banshee and the White Queen to fight back against them.
Oh, wow.
So there's some cool splash pages going on, and they explain everything to the X-Men, and it ends up with them making a time jump again, and they're back in what looks like the past in their first encounter with Magneto. So did they make it?
It's the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But this is the first time that this X-Men Blue team has been interesting to me, which kind of sucks because it feels like this might be the end of the X-Men Blue team.
Well, they're doing the Red team soon.
Yeah, they're doing Red team, which will be Jean's
team.
Jean's team.
I hope it's just like a whole bunch of psychics. That'd be awesome.
I know Nightcrawler's in it, but I don't know who else is in it. maybe Wolverine.
Right.
I don't know. And if you
there's enough of them to go around.
Well, so. And if you haven't seen, Marvel's doing this real cool thing starting, I think, next week in Avengers.
Oh, the Follow Wolverine thing?
Follow Wolverine. Yeah. It's an after credits in the comic books, and it, each book will have a little snippet of where in the heck is Wolverine.
We're talking like trucker regular age Wolverine. Yeah.
So,
and
yeah,
they're actually all going to have a little Wolverine logo on the front of the book too, just so you know.
You have Captain America 697, Thor 703, and Amazing Spider-Man 794, the first ones.
That's awesome.
That's in January.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like they're just going to bring Wolverine back, like, boom, he's back. It looks like they're going to spread this out over a little bit. They're not going to rush it, so we'll see what happens.
I think they're going to kind of spread it out and kind of retie everything, and then when they kind of I don't want to say reset, but when they soft reboot again to what they really want to go forward with, like, all the new creative teams, all the new, like, everybody, all the new guys at Marvel that are taking over and trying
now
to restructure.
Axel Alonso is gone.
Yeah. Like with CB and all those guys. I think that's what they're going to try to I think they're going to hone that in and do that all at the same time, in my opinion. So my next book, my last book, it's kind of dumb because I don't have issue 2 here, even though that's the newer one, but I'm going to talk about issue 1 because it's the only one we have left.
I have 2 in my box.
I didn't get to read it yet. So
okay.
But the issue 1 was so good.
Yeah.
That I want to talk about it because we have a bunch left over. So it's X-Men Grand Design by Ed Pisker. Every copy of number 1 that's in our company right now, for the most part, is signed by Ed. Signed. When you see where it says by Ed Pisker at the top, that's actually him. He signed it.
Yep.
cool
dude, too.
Yeah, super cool guy. He came by and did a signing at C3. So this is like a little like anthology of the X-Men, starting from the very beginning in Ed Pisker style cartooning.
Which is awesome.
Which
awesome
is, yeah,
art.
His art's phenomenal. His writing's great. He has, like, a very specific humor style that works well with this. Like, it starts out with the Watcher talking to the recorder. And the recorder's basically a Walkman Iron Man. Like, you know, and it starts out with, like, oh, mutants are a thing. And then there's this dude who, he worked with, like, Atom Smashing, and his kid started talking to his mom from the womb, and then, oh man, like, this other kid could control metal in World War II when Wolverine and Cap fought him, and the other kid, he would hop back to the other kid, and he's bald, and his dad dies, and then his mom marries this a-hole guy who has a kid of his own, and then he kind of beats him up as a dead guy. So it kind of gives you, like Xavier did all this stuff. Like, and he had a shitty, like, stepbrother of Kane Marco who ends up becoming Juggernaut. And, like, talks about, like, Magneto and, like, the twins and, like, the whole, like, Shadow King thing where he fought Shadow King. And it's kind of awesome because it goes very fast, but it also is very well done. Like, it's if you ever wanted to learn about the X-Men in, like, 40 pages, this is it. Like, if you wanted to read, like, the classic Stan Lee stuff in the quickest way possible, just read this.
And apparently Professor X has always been bald.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got it wrong, Brian Singer. You got it wrong.
Truth. But, I mean, it even touches on Legion. It touches on Moira McTaggart. Touches on, like, the Phoenix Force and Jean. And, like, the Phoenix Force is already coming even before Gene was there.
They said that's going to be, I guess, a theme that kind of, like, spreads throughout every issue is the Phoenix.
Of this book? Or
of all the Grand Design books?
Oh, yeah.
Is
how the Phoenix just keeps resetting everything?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's true. And I mean, whenever they really need to do a reset, they bring Phoenix in.
And how big of a part it plays in the X-Men universe.
But then it goes into, like, Cyclops, and it kind of gives you, like, a little history of, like, all the original X-Men and how they kind of get put together. And like the Jack of Diamonds getting blown apart. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Like that whole scene.
I don't remember any Unis the Untouchable, though. Was he in there?
I don't remember. I can't remember.
I feel like he should have been
Masterman, though. I thought that was cool. The when they show Iceman being all like hulky out.
Yeah.
Like old classic, like drippy snow.
The art's just awesome. It's just,
yeah, it's great.
Especially like, where the white is on any of the panels that have white, because it's on this stock that's like
vanilla.
Yeah,
kinda,
it's like a yellowish tint to it, like the old pages. But where they did white, it's actual white on it, and it just really pops off the page.
Right. But I mean, it's probably like the most. This has been the best X-Men book I've read.
It's about as sexy as a comic book can get.
Yeah, that's pretty true. You can't really not get sexier than this book.
Yeah.
And the cooler part is in the back where it says additional reading by Darren Jensen and Jeff York. It goes page by page and tells you where they're all cited from.
Yeah.
So you can be like, oh, that's cool. Page 14, Moira Taggart left Xavier in a flashback in X-Men 117. Cool. I'm going to go check out that book and that story run.
Yeah, I better go to my new dimension comics and get that out of
right? Exactly. And it's like, here's this dude's first appearance when you see him, and like the Morlocks are in there and like all kinds of stuff. It's just been super, super amazingly good. And I haven't read issue two yet because I am waiting for the next runs to come in, because when we did the signing, I had bought my copy. And
this is a real nice guy story.
This is the customer service you get at New Dimension Comics.
That's right.
One of the guys I know was in line. He was talking to him. He got up in line. The guy before him bought the last copy of number two. And he was like, do you have number two? I said, no, we have number one. I said, you know what? Hold on. And I was like, we have more coming in next week, right? Or in the next couple weeks. And Chip's like, yeah. I said, all right, cool. I was like, here you go, man. You can buy my copy. I'll just grab one when the next ones come in. Go take a dad, get it signed. And he was just like, oh, you don't have to do that. I was like, no, man, I do, because, you know, that's the kind of guy I am. That's the kind of company we are. We're that guy. I will give it to you out of my sub box to let you get it, because I am that guy.
And then he stole mine.
I did. I did. I totally sold yours, too. I think I sold the other Tim's, and I'm pretty sure I sold all the ones from Cranberry, too. No, just kidding. Not all the ones from Cranberry. I think they sold all theirs. So, that was pretty much that's pretty much comics in the last couple weeks. It's been kind of big for the last couple weeks, but this week was actually small. So I may skip next week's podcast. I don't know yet. But let me tell you about some other stuff coming out this week on our tiny week. Action Comics 995. We are 5 issues away from the 1,000. That everybody's freaking out about the price.
Don't forget about Avengers.
They got
the big event started this week. Avengers.
Did I get there? Oh, there it is. Avengers 675. And you get a sweet poster with it.
And they did the lenticular covers really nice on this one. So if you were complaining about the Legacy.
Even the Phoenix one was really good.
Yeah,
the Phoenix
one looked good, too. They seem to have righted the ship as far as those go. Agreed. So, and you get a free poster if you pick up a really sweet poster.
Yeah,
if you pick up Avengers 675.
You knew what I meant.
Yeah.
So Batgirl Birds of Prey 18, Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica number 1, which I have no idea what's about, but I'm going to check it out. Daredevil 595, Dead Man 3, Deja Thor 0, which is a quarter. So come and pick that up for 25 cents. I like it. I'm pretty sure that's the Amy Chu book that I'm thinking of that I couldn't remember.
Flash again with, I think this is the second issue with the new creative team.
I think you're right.
And it's been pretty good so far.
Detective 972, G.I. Joe Real American Hero 247, Grass Kings 11, Harley Quinn 34, Gwenpool 24, Harley Quinn, Be Careful What You Wish For, Special Edition. There's actually some cool covers for that book, to be honest. Hellboy Trade, Jim Henson, Dark Crystal 10, Judas number 2, which I heard was actually a really good book and I should check it out. Mighty Crusaders 2, which is kind of cool that they rebooted that again. Miss Marvel 26. Ninjak versus You, number one. Old Man Hawkeye. Oh, yeah, man. Can't wait for this. I want to see why he goes blind. Old Man Logan 33. Phoenix Resurrection 3. Port of Earth 3.
Punisher has been really good, too.
Punisher 220. Is that where he's still in the War Machine outfit?
Yeah, it's been a really good story.
Ragman 4, Rocko's Modern Life 2, Rose number 7, Runaways 5.
Runaways has been good too. It's they're trying to get the team back together, but I'm just really into Runaways right now because I just finished the show.
Nice. So. I haven't watched it because I don't have Hulu.
Oh, it's really good.
She-Hulk 161, which I kind of want to check out. Spider-Man Deadpool 26, Stabbity Bunny 1. Which sounds awesome.
That just sounds really awesome, yeah.
Star Wars, Darth Vader 10, Supergirl 17, Superwoman 18, Titans 19, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl 28, Venom 160, Vision Director's Cut Hardcover, which is sexy. Yeah. Oh my God, is it sexy. Wonder Woman 38.
The Venom story's been real good, too. The whole Venom, Spider-Man Venom, Alpha Inc.,
oh, yeah.
It feels like they're bringing back.
Ooh. Spider-Man Venom. Blue 19. This is it.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Gold Annual 1. And then Youngblood 8. Because, you know, we need to give some love to Rob Liefeld.
No, we don't.
No. Anyway, those are some books you can pick up at your local New Dimension Comics. Come in and check them out. You can pick up most of the stuff we talked about today as well there. So don't really have a lot of nerd news to talk about.
Yeah.
There really isn't anything super, oh my God, look what happened. I finally did see the Doctor Who Christmas special. It was awesome. I'm very excited for Jodie Whittaker. I caught up on Gifted, which is now probably one of my favorite shows ever.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. It got so good. Like I watched the first three and I was like, oh, this is okay, but it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know where it's going, but oh man, did it just pick up and like it probably around episode 5. It just like
I didn't want to hear that.
Boom.
I was staying away from it because I don't like anything to do with the Bryan Singer X-Men universe, and I saw Gifted got renewed for season 2.
Right.
So
but it's not really that universe because it can't be because of the Struckers.
I mean, it could be because Bryan Singer doesn't ever do anything that makes sense. Also,
right?
He's getting pulled anyways as producer. I know he did on.
Well, he did because Legion. He was on House, and they were the guys I think that helped develop it. Like that team, because like there was like half of them did The Good Doctor, the other half did this.
Okay.
I think he may have like some kind of credit in there. I think either way, the show's pretty good.
I'll have to check it out.
So like. I was like, holy crap, was when they started getting into the Strucker storyline and started getting into Reed's family and the kids.
Yeah.
So it ends up being that. Do you care if I spoil this for you?
No.
This is kind of cool.
Go ahead.
Because then you're going to want to watch it and see what spoilers. How that works. So, sort of spoiler. So, Andreas and Andrea von Strucker,
yes.
The twins that became Fendris.
Yes.
Are Reed's grand Andreas is his grandfather.
Oh.
So then it went to Otto, who is Andreas's son. He worked for Trask to try to stop the X gene from activating. So the only person he ever got it to work on was his son Reed. So Reed's actually a mutant with an X gene that doesn't work. So he's like the worst X-Men ever.
His mutant powers, right? He doesn't have a mutant power.
Exactly. His mutant powers being human.
He can balance his checkbook.
Right. And but he passed that on to his kids, and his kids have the same Fendris powers that the twins did, so they can basically like wreck everything.
Yeah.
And that was when I went, oh my God, that was like such a good twist. I need to do this. I need to keep in this.
Huh.
Like, I'm liking Lorna a little more for a while there. I thought she was getting kind of whiny.
Yeah.
But in the last couple episodes, it really panned out.
And Jamie Chung
as Blink.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been really, really good. The dude playing Thunderbird has been great.
Yeah.
I really like the actress who plays Dreamer. Like I just like her in general. Like I've liked other things she was in.
Yeah.
But man, like it gets to this like a certain point where you're just like, whoa, what's going on? Because they like attack Trask.
Yeah.
And like there's like this whole craziness goes on. All right,
I'm sold. I'll try. Yeah. I'll try.
And like Eclipse, basically Sunspot, like ends up not being such a douchebag because he was kind of a douche like the first couple episodes I watched. It was either he was like a giant douche or he was like a whiny bitch. There was like no middle ground, and now he's like gotten to like the point where he's kind of rising to leadership, which is good. And he's starting to.
What is the middle ground of together. Giant douche and whiny bitch?
Me.
You said it, not me.
Well, yeah. I'll admit to that. It was very good. So I dug it.
Well, it must be popular since it got renewed.
Right.
People must be watching it. So
yeah, like I said, it just really picked up. Yeah. It worked out well. So I guess we could talk about X-Files real quick. Or episode one.
Yeah.
Since episode two airs tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah.
So I liked it. I know Chip hated it with passion.
I hated things about it. I agree with what Chip said about the little fight between Skinner and Mulder was very high school bullies picking on each other. No, you, and pushing him around and stuff. I thought that
was actually like a long time coming, to be honest. But
if it would have been, I think if they would have delivered it better, I would have liked it. But it felt very like
the actual juvenile. Pushing part was the weird part.
Yeah,
like the yelling, I was totally cool with. Then I was like, did he just push him?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious to know what the hell is actually going on, which is like how I always go into an X-Files season.
Because you're like, about X-Files is like, for some reason, even a bad episode is kind of fun.
Yeah,
that's just the kind of show it is.
Right.
So even though I didn't like it 100%, I still kind
of
did.
Well, they talked about how they're going to try to do like Monster of the Week style stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see the episode where like we're in the commercials, like he's squatching. I'm just like, I just want to see that happen. Like, I'm just like, that is such a Mulder thing to do.
Yeah.
But they talk about like in the, and the thing was like, so I came into like kind of a conversation last week when you guys were talking about it, and like Chip was all fired up, and I was like, you know, there's probably just going to be like the alternate reality thing that they talked about in the commercial.
Yeah.
And Chip was like, what? And I'm like, and you said it today that I was like, maybe he doesn't actually have TV to watch trailers or commercials for it.
And well, I just fast forward. Like, who watches commercials anymore?
Right.
I mean, you do, obviously.
I do, because like I actually watch it varying because I like to watch TV. As
I started
TV time.
If I can, like a half hour after it started. So I, by the time I get caught up, I'm through most of the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I just got a DVR. I got to figure out how to use it.
Oh, you just hit fast forward.
Yeah,
so. And record.
Yeah, that's true too. But it's kind of interesting. I'm digging it. It definitely has like, I think this first episode had way more of an old school X-Files vibe than the first episode of the other season.
I can agree with
that. The season 10?
This is 11, I think.
So season 10, I thought, only felt very X-Files about halfway through the season. It started to really feel X-Files.
Yeah.
My other thing is like, why is Reyes all of a sudden this like crazy bad person, like a bad guy?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't remember her ever being like that in the show. I don't remember her really being like that until last season when she kind of was like, I work for the smoking man.
Yeah.
Meh. But I thought it was cool that we learned his real name.
Yeah.
That was like, what?
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
I wonder what they're going to do with that, too, because Gillian Anderson said she's not coming back after this season.
I think they're going to pass it off to Einstein and Miller,
but
which would be great because I like those guys.
Chris Carter said there's no X-Files without Gillian Anderson.
I agree.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
But if they pass it on to them, I would at least give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I just like those two actors. I especially like the Einstein actress.
Yeah.
Holy God, is she great. She was great in 6 Feet Under. If you haven't watched 6 Feet Under, you should. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So
it's worth a shot. New generation of X-Files.
So. Maybe they'll just, restart their universe. Like Dr. Manhattan will come down. His big blue dong will just wave. And everything will reset. Although that's not the DC universe, it's totally technically, I guess, the IDW universe.
he can take his big blue dong wherever he wants to. That's kind of his true. Power.
He's just, check out my dong.
It just shows up by itself. It's not even attached. Honey.
What is this? Oh, I see Manhattan's here. Hi, Doc. So... But that's about all the time we got. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And I will continue to try to make these weekly, at least bi-weekly, in the new year. It's part of my resolution for the new year, and I'm already off to a bad start because they're already 2 weeks in.
I don't make resolutions.
I make the resolution to not make resolutions.
Because I don't want to fail at anything.
Right.
So.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Bye.